This is attorney Kerry Meldon. We're here at another version of Law Talk Live. This is a beautiful late September morning. Actually, it's October 1st. Strike that. We are here in the beginning of October, and it is really nice outside. We are approaching fall. We've just got through Hurricane Ian, and so for those listeners out there, it looked like most of the people in our radio coverage area survived the hurricane, but a lot of the people out in the state that didn't do so well. So it's very important to obviously be prepared, because these things come quickly. And I spoke to a buddy of mine out in Fort Myers yesterday, and he weathered the storm in Fort Myers. And I asked him why, and he said he just thought it wasn't going to be that bad. And the hurricane apparently went a little bit farther south than what was expected, and it caused obviously a significant impact. And apparently they're saying that this may be the worst hurricane to ever hit Florida. We all remember Hurricane Andrew in 1992. I was 14 when that happened, but this one apparently was even more forceful. The good news is that the houses have been built better since 1992, and a lot more roofs stayed on the houses, even if they were damaged. More of the belongings that were inside the house survived. And right now, the death toll hopefully is not going to get much higher. We'll find out in the next couple days. So, you know, for those listeners out there, make sure that you, you know, if you do have any hurricane damage, obviously call your insurance company. We always suggest getting a public adjuster involved. If you feel like the insurance company is not taking care of your property that is damaged as a result of whatever reason, and they can help assess the damage, number one. Two, they can help determine whether or not you're covered, and they actually they make money from the claim. So it's almost like a commission type situation in some circumstances. So, you know, there's really for most of the listeners out there, it probably will not affect you, because we survived the brunt of it. But obviously, the people in the Northeast coast, as well as the Southwest coast of Florida, are going to be dealing with a ton of damage. And unfortunately, you know, it's going to be a kind of a slow road to hoe.
And now South Carolina.
Carolina, even Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Look, the problem with these type of natural disasters is that they're acts of God. It's no one's fault. It just happens. And unfortunately, when it happens and with this type of severity and this type of massiveness, there's just not the resources that are available to fix a lot of this damage as quickly as people want, so they get displaced. You know, and it affects everybody. It affects work, it affects jobs, it affects people's lives, it affects their obviously their kids if they're in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really a lot more than just that date and time in which the disaster occurs. The disaster lasts for weeks, if not months, after it's over.
Well, we're coming off a time over the last couple of years where the construction industry was real expensive. Supplies were real expensive. Yep. And hard to get. So that's going to probably tie in a little bit. Suddenly, demand across the state is going to be just huge.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and the insurance companies are all going under. You know, the insurance companies blame first-party attorneys. Now, we don't do property insurance claims, but the insurance companies are blaming the first-party attorneys for filing too many claims. The attorneys are blaming the insurance company for losing money in the stock marketing and increasing the premiums. So there's blame going both ways. No one's, you know, there's so many unclean hands there, but at the end of the day, it's the consumer that usually has to pay the price, unfortunately, and that's the way the world works. So what we're going to hope for is that they'll figure out an insurance. There's going to be two or three different options at the end. Number one is they figure out the insurance situation in Florida. Obviously, insurance companies would rather insure homes in Missouri than they would in Florida, for good reason, right? Because they're not going to have to pay as much money. And for the insurance companies, it's all about the bottom dollar. It's essentially legalized gambling. And then so that's one choice, is that they can figure out how they're going. We have to figure out how we're going to have insurance companies in the state of Florida, or you can maybe just be a state that doesn't have insurance. And then people are going to have to take, I guess, risk if they want to live on the coast of Florida. I mean, there's a lot of people saying now that the, for example, the state income tax that does not exist in Florida has been a big draw for other people to move in the state. And some people are saying, well, if you move into the state, you got to move into it for at least, you know, 270 days instead of 180 days, which is currently, I think the law is 6 months out of the year. You have to live here 9 months out of the year in order to be able to claim tax exemptions, right? Like, it's not fair that you're basically coming down here, obviously,
to visit.
Yeah, right. But there's arguments both ways, right? You're bringing money into the economy, but you're also boosting up house prices to the extent that most Floridians that have lived here for generations can no longer afford to live where their family is. And it's sad when the future generations have a lower standard of living than the past generations.
Well, ironically, you mentioned Missouri. There, it's flooding and tornadoes.
Right.
But the scenario there is somewhat the same scenario here. People keep rebuilding in the same spot over and over and over and over. And like with flooding, you know the areas that are going to flood, and if you live on a river or whatever. And so at some point, I can see why the insurance companies would want it, like, hey, excuse me, you need to move someplace else. This is not a good place that we're going to cover, and actually change the coverage areas.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because it's also, insurance is not as cut and dry as you think it is. It's not always just common sense. I have an old college roommate of mine, Doug, who I went to William & Mary with. He ended up going and working at AIG out of college, actually, in 2001, right when 9/11 happened. He was in New York City.
Wow.
So he worked in the insurance business with AIG and huge commercial insurance. And then he moved to Bermuda and worked in reinsurance, which is the insurance companies that actually insure the insurance companies to make sure that they stay solvent. And then he ended up moving to London, and then now he's in Houston as an executive in a huge reinsurance company. And, you know, what I learned is that for the reinsurance companies, for example, they need to have some natural disasters to occur so they can justify increasing their premiums.
Interesting.
Okay, so the insurance companies want to have some disasters, just enough so they can raise your premiums and then blame the lawyers.
Well, you got to have a goal.
Yes, you have to have a goal. Congratulations, insurance companies. You've brainwashed the United States of America. Okay, so we'll be back in a few seconds from this first break. And we're here at Law Talk Live. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, but thank you for listening. If you're inside or if you're on your car, you know, driving somewhere, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In 1971, we established the Meldon Law Firm, and since that time, the firm has been dedicated to getting the justice our clients deserve after being seriously injured in an accident. Our commitment to this community is paramount, and we won't back down in representing our clients. Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City.
Okay, we're back here at Law Talk Live. This is attorney Carrie Meldon with Meldon Law. We have offices here in Gainesville, Lake City, and Ocala. We're happy to serve North Central Florida. This has been a live call-in show for nearly 20 years. We keep saying that because we remind ourselves how long we've been on this show. It is a call-in show, so I have not said the number yet, but if you want to call and ask any kind of question about any legally related matter, you can call us at 1-877-975-9825. That's 1-877-975-9825. Sorry if my voice is a little bit raspy. I'm feeling a little under the weather this morning. I think all of this hurricane weather staying inside may have kicked in my allergies. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I got a question for you.
Yes.
So we go through a tumultuous time like with Ian or other natural disasters. And while that, you know, the properties and those kind of things aren't the things that you guys normally deal with, are there things that happen, are there scenarios that happen in these situations that suddenly you guys do need to be a part of?
When you say just attorneys in general or what our firm
What your firm does.
Well, you know, our firm generally focuses on personal injury type cases. So, you know, I guess it would determine on how the injury occurred. I mean, if it's an act of God, obviously there's no right. way that we can deal with that. Although it's funny that you bring that up. We have a really good today's topic was. This is actually ties in. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if whoever's listening, this topic has been chosen weeks, if not months ago. So this is just pure circumstance. Let me pull out my phone. I'll read what today's Law Talk Live Uh-oh. Weekly topic was. I'm going to read it verbatim here.
With someone at the firm being psychic or seeing into the future, and then the timing just kind of worked out really right?
I don't know. I mean, it very well could have been.
Hmm.
Okay, let me see here. Of course.
When you're looking for something is when you can't find it.
Well, you know, I've been telling my marketing team, they got to email me the topic because I researched it. Here it is. We got it.
Okay.
All right. So the topic of this week's show is, if a palm tree that is on my property drops a coconut that falls on my neighbor's head, Ooh. Am I liable?
Interesting. This is Florida.
All right. Yeah. So, I researched the answer, and mm-hmm. the answer is that if you have a palm tree on your property and it drops a coconut that hits your neighbor on the head, and by the way, my girlfriend was telling me like a lot of people die from coconuts falling on their head per year, like almost 100 people a year die from coconuts falling on their head, according to her.
Like they're enjoying the shade and they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently coconuts are somewhat like dangerous. Drive-by
we
coconuts.
We need coconut control in this
yes,
country.
Yes, we need some coconut control.
Some common sense coconut control.
Right. We need people who own palm trees to go through coconut safety classes.
Yes, absolutely.
So the
Interesting.
Yeah. So so if a coconut is on your property, but it's kind of hanging over the neighbor's property and drops the coconut and hits them on the head on their own property, the answer is it depends. Okay?
Oh, that's definitive.
All right. It's okay. But I'm going to tell you the two circumstances that I found, okay?
Okay.
At least in Florida law. Mm-hmm. So if the tree is in good shape, it's a healthy tree, and it drops the coconut on your neighbor's head,
okay.
it's an act of God.
Okay.
And so you cannot sue your neighbor for the coconut right. that hits you on the head, even though the coconut tree was on their property.
Are we going to go down a negligence road here?
Yes. So the negligence is if the tree is dying or has been declared, you know, dead.
Right.
And the owner of the property knew or should have known that the tree was dying or dead and ends up dropping a branch or a coconut or something that causes the damage to the other person's property or person, you know, like a personal injury, then there can be liability only in that circumstance.
Well, in listening to the show over the years and being here sometimes for it, I see a pattern here. This is much like the proverbial wet floor in the grocery store. People always assume, because they haven't been in the situation or researched it, oh, I slipped and fell, I can sue and get lots of money. But if it was unknown to the property
Correct.
Owner, if it's not an ongoing problem where I know you guys have gone back and said, oh, you know, marks in the roof, this has been leaking a long time. So history comes into play, and that's where negligence comes into play.
I turn down, I'm glad you bring that up, I turn down about 90% of the slip and fall cases that come through our doors.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just don't want to take most of them because they're very difficult to prove, and for good reason. I mean, how can a restaurant owner be liable for something that another patron could have done 30 seconds before, and it's impossible to clean up,
right?
And so that's exactly what you're saying is the truth, and that's how it should be. You know, you should not be filing frivolous claims where there's no ground. So what we do is we investigate, and what we want to know is should either the grocery store or the restaurant or the business owner knew or should have known about this dangerous situation. For example, we have a case now where the facts are it's an old pizza takeout place, and there is a wood deck that goes to, it's the only entrance you can get to the actual pizza place, and it doesn't exist anymore, but it was a wood deck, and there was holes and grass, and all of the wood planks were uneven, and you couldn't see or you could see it, but it was like they're all uneven, and there was obviously two or three inches of relief between the planks on some of the part of the deck.
Wow.
And the problem was it was a pizza takeout place. So guess what? You go get your pizza, and they give you the pizza in a cardboard box. And so when you're walking back, you're holding a cardboard box, and you can't see
the ground
where
at all.
Where
no.
you're stepping. So you have a higher. So knowing that you're selling people pizza takeout boxes, and you have these clearly uneven planks. Now on the way in, I think you can argue that people should be looking where they're walking.
Right.
But on the way out, how are they supposed to carry this pizza box that you gave them, that you sold them on your property, mm-hmm. where you're actually having, you know, making money on a business,
right.
without taking care of the area to protect your patrons from falling? And in this case, it ended up tearing up the individual's shoulder so bad she had to have surgery recommended. So
my goodness.
So the point is that every situation has to be looked at different. That one I felt like was a legitimate case because of the nature of the business, mm-hmm. and that the fact that the planks were so noticeably offset, and there was, you know, grass growing through them. It was just a dangerous situation, and you just can't do that if you're going to have a business in the state of Florida.
So I guess the key is don't assume you have a case, but that's why calling and asking and getting some facts from you guys at Meldon is why you need to follow up.
Exactly right. Every case is different. You know, that case just happened to be. If it wasn't a pizza box, maybe there wasn't going to be a case there, you know. So every case is specific to the facts which are brought into our office. I will say though that with regards to slip and fall, in the legal world they call them premises liability cases. You know, we're pretty conservative, so I feel that if we're going to take a case, it should be a really good case where we have a good argument where I can look a juror in the eye and say, look, this is legitimate. Mm-hmm. You know, this could have been anybody, and there was nothing that the patron could have done to avoid this accident.
Because that goes back to the negligence, the should have known, prior incidents.
Right. If you have a dead tree that's been struck by lightning on your property and you allow it to stand and it drops a branch, I think that's pretty foreseeable that a dead tree is going to drop branches. And if that causes damage to the neighbor's property, you should be held liable, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Right.
I mean, it's just common sense for the most part. You know, use your common sense. If you have a live tree, then how are you supposed to know if it's going to drop a branch or a coconut? I mean, I still think it's good practice to trim your trees. But in the state of Florida, it's actually the neighbor's responsibility to trim trees. So if you have a tree, if you're abutting another neighbor's property, mm-hmm. and his tree or her tree is actually coming over onto your property line, you have a responsibility to trim their tree. Usually what I suggest is go to their neighbor, mm-hmm. go to the neighbor and say, do you want to trim your own tree so you can do it the way you want to do it?
Don't just start hacking on the thing.
Don't start hacking it, but talk to them first and then maybe you can work something out.
I had no idea.
All right, we'll come back. We have our one last segment of Law Talk Live. This is attorney Carrie Meldon with Meldon Law, and we'll be back for the final segment.
Since 1971, Meldon Law has been dedicated to giving back to our community. Our Veterans Making a Difference program honors the over 20,000 veterans in North Central Florida. We're here for our veterans, our community, and we'll be there when you need someone on your side after a serious accident. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City.
Okay, we are back here at Law Talk Live. We're having some fun conversations this Saturday morning. October 1st, 2022. This is attorney Carrie Meldon with Meldon Law. We are a full-service firm here in North Central Florida with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. Our number is 1-800-373-8000. We are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our office hours are 8:30 to 5. We are staffed in the office. You can come see the lawyers. The Meldons are in the office. Unlike maybe some other firms, you can come and meet us face-to-face and see who's going to be representing you. And of course, since our name's on the door, we have a lot of pride in how we represent our clients. If you want to call in and ask any more questions, we are in our last segment of the day. Our number is 1-877-975-9825. Before we go into the final conversation, I do want to remind the listeners out there that we've got some really cool events coming up. Next Friday, my father, Jeffrey, is being honored in the Matheson Museum, along with some other, Bill Moran, John Moran, Bill DeYoung, some people that have been around Gainesville for many years, with an exhibit – called Return to Forever, and it's about the bands, the musical bands that played at the Great Southern Music Hall on University Avenue in Gainesville, Florida from 1974 to 1978. The list is absolutely amazing. Crosby, Nash, Stills, and Young. You have Waylon Jennings. They have pictures of Jerry Lee Lewis, Jimmy Buffett, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Minnie Riperton. Trying to think of some of the other, Bo Diddley, Muddy Waters. Mm. The list just goes on and on and on. And
it's the who's who.
It's the who's who, yeah. And these photos have never been released publicly until this museum. John Moran, who's been in Gainesville for about 40 years, was the first in-house photographer in 1974, and he kept these images to himself until they've been released. So this is, it's going to be open for about 3 months, but the grand opening is set for next Friday, and the tickets are free. So you can just go on the website to order them.
Sounds like an amazing event. And Jeffrey was talking about that last week, so I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, just the history of music in Gainesville is amazing in itself.
Yes.
And again, the who's who that played in that time at that location. You know, it's a great opportunity for the next generation to learn about the musical heritage that was here, because they're not old enough to even know, but their parents probably are, and they were probably there. And so if you lived it, it's exciting to go to, but it's also exciting to share something like that.
It's exactly right. And it's a documentary because it's all the photos are taken in Gainesville during the mid-70s, and the stories are written by the venerable journalist Bill DeYoung, who's been a great journalist for 25 years. He's volunteered to write the stories, and he's taken it into a whole different direction. I don't want to ruin it, but you'll walk out of there and you'll feel like you knew more about Gainesville. And stories is what I think illuminate people. It's what motivate people. And when you go to that exhibit and you're able to go through it, you're going to walk out with so many more stories you can tell other people about your hometown. So
that's exciting.
Check it out. It's going to be really cool. And of course, the tie-in is that we got the Tom Petty concert coming up in 3 weeks at the Heartwood stage, a sound stage. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be an incredible event with many different bands. If you haven't been to the Heartwood sound stage in Gainesville, it's really cool. It's kind of got I wouldn't say a hippie feel, but it's kind of got like a real intimate feel.
Mm-hmm. Old school
feel, but great music, great acoustics. Mm-hmm. Bands love playing there, and there's going to be some great shows there, so you can check that out as well. So those are two cool events that we want to talk about. Of course, the Gators are playing tomorrow at noon, so we'll be playing Eastern Washington tomorrow. That should be an interesting matchup, simply because the Gators really need a victory. Hopefully it'll be easy, and it'll be a good warm-up for Missouri, which is homecoming weekend, the following weekend. Mm. And so next Friday, of course, is the parade. Although I don't know where the parade's going to be this year. I know they moved it off of University, I believe, right?
I had not heard that.
Okay.
We'll check into that, though.
Maybe I'm wrong. We'll don't hold me to that. We'll research that in more depth. But anyways, we're back here on the last couple minutes of Law Talk Live. I will say, for those people who did suffer damage as a result of Hurricane Ian, make sure that you call your insurance company. They'll tell you how to report it. Mm-hmm. And then if you could find a public adjuster, that's a great way to have someone who's, you know, more independent assess the damage. Because the insurance company is doing the best they can, but ultimately their job is to pay the least amount possible.
Sure.
Your job is to try to get the most fair amount possible.
Right.
And so you need someone working in your corner. There's lawyers that do that as well. I usually use public adjusters, which are people that are experienced in the industry that go out and try to really recount what's the fair market value. And I think your point's well taken. The materials now are much more expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you paid for a roof 10 years ago is not going to be what you're going to pay for a roof today.
No. Yeah. Well, and I think that's a huge point in getting an independent adjuster. We were talking off the air. My mom had an automobile accident earlier this week. Chances are that the car is totaled. And at some point, the adjuster will look at it. At some point, the insurance company will make an offer, air quotes. But I was proactive. I have friends in the car business. Mm-hmm. I have friends that sell the exact brand and kind of car that she has. Mm-hmm. So I've already done my research to go, okay,
you know what the fair market value is.
Here's the condition. Yeah. Here's the VIN. Look it up. Here's the miles that were on it. Here's the equipment that was on it. So we can have an idea going in. What should be a reasonable you know, amount for this car.
I'm glad you do that. I always tell my clients to go and figure out what region your car is being driven in, what the mileage is, what the car is being listed on cars.com and Auto Trader.
Right.
Then go to like Edmunds TMV, Kelley Blue Book.
Yep.
Go check out a couple of what the fair market value assessments are. So when the insurance company comes with you, I think you have the right idea. You got to come back with some.
Here's my folder.
Yeah, you have to come back with some support as to why you want what you want. Mm-hmm. You can't tell people what you want without having some support to explain why you want it. And that's what I tell people all the time. Well, they come. A lot of people come into my office and they say, well, that's not fair. And my first question is, okay, why? Why is it not fair?
Show me. Tell me.
Yeah, tell me and show me why it's not fair.
You don't go to court with an opinion. You go to a court situation with evidence.
You know what happens when you go to a court with an opinion? I've seen it happen thousands of times. I've been.
Can't imagine.
Judge says, "That's a really good point." However, and whenever you hear the word "however," you know you're sunk. Then you know you're sunk. And so and I tell people all the time: the judges will demonstrate empathy, but if they demonstrate empathy, that usually means that the next thing they're going to say is a ruling against your favor. So at least you walk out feeling that's what the good judges do. So that way you feel good about yourself, even though you just lost the case.
I feel sorry for you, but I can't really help you.
I would rather my clients walk out feeling good about themselves because they just won the case. And that's how we feel at Meldon Law. So once again, I think how many more? I think we're nearing the end of the show here.
Yeah.
It's been a good show. For those people out there that have had any relatives or their own houses damaged as a result of Hurricane Ian, I wish you the best. I know this is something that will last for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our thoughts go out to you sincerely. So next week, we'll have another great show. I think Jeffrey will be back in the studio, and he'll talk about the Matheson Museum opening that happened the day before, which is next Friday.
Y'all are just taking turns on the show.
Oh, there we go. All right. Well, that's another great episode of Law Talk Live. We'll send you out, as always, with a
Go Gators!